From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea, in for Ed Gordon. Think of the U.S. economy as your household budget. Suppose two catastrophes happened back to back. You got laid off from work and your house was robbed. Would you still have the ability to function? Well, the U.S. economy is struggling to stay on course despite two hurricanes and ongoing Iraq war costs. Katrina and Rita's 1-2 punch left more than 350,000 Americans unemployed, many of them African Americans from the Gulf Coast. The hurricanes also caused a spike in energy and consumer prices that could last for months. So, what lies ahead? Joining us now to discuss the state of the U.S. economy are Greg Price, professor of economics at Jackson State University and director of the Mississippi Urban Research Center, and Bernard Anderson, professor at the University of Pennsylvania's Wharton School and former assistant secretary of labor in the Clinton administration. Thank you, gentlemen, so much for joining us. And let me jump right in. You've got U.S. consumer prices, a one-month jump that's the highest in 14 years. Is the U.S. economy going to hell in a handbasket, as my grandmother would say? Greg Price.
Probably not. And let me just give you a historical perspective on this here. In 1992, after Hurricane Andrew, also in September, that following month, jobs fell by 100,000. But then in October, they increased again by 173,000 jobs. So, by historical standards, the U.S. economy seems to have a strong resilience in recovering from these natural disasters. So if the past is a guide to the future, I would say that, no, we're probably not going to a hell in a handbasket overall.
Bernard?
I think that the economic performance in recent months has been mixed, and it does appear to be worsening. The gross domestic product is growing at about 3%. The September employment report showed a decline of 35,000 jobs, but the two previous months showed an increase of about 240,000 jobs. The budget deficit is worsening. It's now nearly $600 billion. Productivity is slowing. The trade deficit is worsening, mainly because of the increase in oil prices. And consumer spending, while still high, appears to be beginning to decline. And the Federal Reserve is continuing to raise interest rates. And so when I look at the statistics, I conclude that the economic picture is very mixed, but it does appear to be worsening.
So, Bernard, just to follow up, it sounds like what you just painted a picture of is a broad look at many different factors. And if the U.S. economy is slowing, put it in terms of labor. You were Assistant Secretary of Labor in the Clinton administration. What is this going to mean for jobs, particularly for people who don't have, say, a lot of skills? Some of the people who were displaced by Katrina, for example, don't necessarily have college educations and won't be able to make their skills portable to some new communities that they've moved into.
I have long said that African Americans have a relationship with the economy like the caboose on the train. When the train speeds up, the caboose speeds up. When the train slows down, the caboose slows down. And in the natural order of things, the caboose never catches up with the engine, and so it is. The unemployment rate of African Americans increased over the past year, but so did the unemployment rate of whites. The rate of unemployment continues to be twice in the African American community than in the white community. That is a persistent disparity that we've seen for many, many years, and it isn't getting any better. The black youth unemployment rate today is 32%. And so to the extent that economic performance moves in the direction of slowing down, it means hard times for African Americans in particular in the immediate months ahead.
And Greg, let me follow up with you. What do you find? You're director of the Mississippi Urban Research Center. Mississippi, of course, has some of the same mixes of issues with fallout from Katrina and also issues of high-skilled work being hard to find. What are you finding in your work as director of the center?
Well, just to follow up on what Bernard said about the case of African Americans, the southern part of Mississippi, of course, were hit pretty hard by Katrina. And if you look at going back to the national picture, if you look at the job losses, the biggest component of job losses were in the leisure and hospitality industry. It fell by 120,000 nationally. In southern Mississippi, a disproportionate amount of the employment is in tourism and leisure. And it's fair to assume that typically minorities, Black Americans, are disproportionately employed in those industries. So the unemployment effects down in southern Mississippi and along the Gulf Coast are going to be disproportionately borne by Black Americans. There's no doubt about that. So we're going to see large, higher levels of unemployment. And to the extent that these workers were in low-wage jobs, a lot of minorities in that area will probably be pushed into poverty as a result of job loss.
Let me ask you something.
I should add, though, that one of the industries in which employment did increase last month is health care. I think the increase was about 40,000 jobs, and that is an industry in which a significant number of African Americans, especially those in urban areas, have jobs, albeit somewhat low-paying jobs.
Well, let me just follow up on one thing with you, Greg. You were just talking about the leisure and hospitality industries in Mississippi really taking a hit as a result of Katrina. Are you finding in Mississippi that it's similar to New Orleans and that people have just moved other places who were displaced? Or are people really sticking around in Mississippi trying to find whatever jobs are left?
Well, yeah, here in the Jackson area, we've seen a large influx of evacuees. But, you know, down the coast, particularly in areas like Waveland, I mean, the places were just devastated. So it's going to be a while before large sections of the population move back. I mean, there are FEMA trailers down there, but it's going to take a while to recover, to rebuild. I mean, the southern coast of Mississippi was hit pretty bad. The infrastructure was just wiped out, roads. A lot of the casinos were basically destroyed, early destroyed. It looks like a nuclear attack down there, essentially. So it will be a while. It'll take a while. And the labor market effects are going to be quite significant for those individuals who are typically employed in those sectors.
Bernard, let me go back to you. We're talking about the labor issues. We've been framing it in the context of Katrina, but now I really want to broaden it out. You were talking earlier really about the big picture of the economy. What is it going to take, given that the economy seems in some ways to be slowing down, to ensure that not just people displaced by Katrina, but many of America's low-skill, low-wage workers have something to do? There is this persistent unemployment. You were really talking about some of the high unemployment rates, particularly among African-American youth. What is it going to take to really put folks to work who may not have the same pathways to success as people who are more educated?
One of the things we must understand is that there is a structural transformation taking place in the American economy. We have seen over the past decade and even beyond that a continuing decline in manufacturing jobs. We have seen a continuing outflow of American jobs to countries overseas through the phenomenon of outsourcing. What we see is that the United States is becoming a country where the heavy concentration on employment is in the high-value-added jobs, and there is also a rapid expansion of jobs in the services sector, many of which don't pay very high wages. If there is one solution to the problem of the economic disparity that African Americans face, it is to improve their investment in human capital, as Greg will understand, that we need to improve the capacity and the income-earning capacity of the African-American workforce. That means getting an education, acquiring skills, and being able to take advantage of the expanding jobs, most of which will be higher-skilled jobs in the American economy.
So, Greg, what then do you expect the government to do? Let's put it in this perspective. If you have a bunch of folks, not just African Americans, but millions of Americans who don't have a lot of skills, what resources from the government are being marshaled to do job training to improve the state of education in America, or because of the cost that the U.S. government is now facing from Iraq, from the hurricanes, are we going to scale back on some of our efforts to try to turn low-skill workers into high-skill workers?
Well, one would have to think that in light of what Katrina exposed about the problem with poverty in this country, that the federal government will at some point start thinking about broader policies to combat poverty, a new war on poverty, which would include, as Bernard discussed, human capital policies. I mean, right now the immediate attention is upon disaster recovery and repairing what was damaged. But given the president's speech last month, one would think that's a signal that in this country, again, we're going to get serious about poverty and race in this country and implement those policies that can remedy that there. So, but that depends. But we have to keep our attention on that, though. I mean, that depends upon our congressmen and our community leaders that we can stay focused on this year. Otherwise, we'll drop the ball. There's an opportunity now to launch a new war on poverty, if you will, to take a serious game. The president went out front on this here, and we have to take him. Hopefully, we'll take him seriously, and we'll launch another war on poverty, which will include human capital policies that will close these racial disparities that we see in economic outcomes.
And Bernard, do you think that such a war on poverty is forthcoming? Do you, as someone who's worked in one of the administrations, the presidential administrations, what would it take to make that kind of war on poverty a reality?
Well, let me say this. I'm very proud to have been part of the administration under which there was the most rapid decline in poverty in the African-American community at any time since World War II. But in response to your question, I don't see much evidence, despite what the president said, to believe that there's going to be any major new initiatives undertaken to reduce poverty in this country. For one thing, to do so would cost a lot of money. And the president and his party are responsible for the economic mess that we're in now. But I must say that Democrats haven't offered any credible alternative policy solutions either. So I think it's going to take advocacy and agitation and continue to focus on this area to see that the federal government does everything it must do to make whole the people who have been so tragically affected by the hurricane and other developments in the Gulf Coast area.
Well, I'm afraid we're going to have to leave it there. We're out of time. Just hearing from Bernard Anderson, professor at the University of Pennsylvania's Wharton School and former Assistant Secretary of Labor in the Clinton administration. Also, Greg Price, professor of economics at Jackson State University and director of the Mississippi Urban Research Center. Thank you both so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.